Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Yeah, welcome everyone once again to Moments. And you know, that I was thinking, if this was a couple years ago, people probably wouldn't have noticed that I'm a different person than who was just sitting here.
I know,
a few
other
ago,
than your hair.
Other than the hair, yeah. So I actually almost wore the same shirt or a shirt similar, and I had to change just to be safe. But welcome,
awesome,
everyone. My name is Rob, and this is my dad, Gregory Dickow. And so here we are for another experience of Moments, and we're gonna have some fun.
Great.
Got a lot to get into. I'm excited for what we're gonna talk about. I've got a couple things I want to ask you about.
Yeah, sure.
But I want to start. It's we're still kind of in the new year sort of season. It's just been a couple weeks, barely. And I know everyone's kind of got their resolutions. People are trying to work that out. Some people are, some people aren't. I know you haven't really been a big like resolution guy, but you do have a word for the year that you kind of have been standing on this last week and sharing. I just kind of want to, just if you don't mind, just for those who haven't heard, or just a recap, kind of what is your word for this year and kind of the mindset that you have going into 2021, just as a refresh for us? Or do you have multiple words?
I do have a few things that are stirring, have been stirred up in me, but as I said a week or two ago, that the changing of a year, the changing of a calendar doesn't really change anything.
Right, right.
Because it wouldn't matter if we made a resolution January 1st or whether we made a resolution today. Studies show that about 90% of everybody's New Year's resolutions are broken by January 15th. Mm. So I really was always frustrated with the new year churches starting New Year's with, you know, 40-day fasts or 7-day fasts or 21-day fasts, or resolutions to be better in life. And that frustrated me many years ago, is where the whole concept of fasting from wrong thinking came from, which we're gonna start in a few
weeks
again. But, you know, I just heard the Lord say one day, call a fast, call the church, call America, call the nations of the world to a fast. And I was like, oh Lord, I don't wanna do that. 40-day fast, I heard. Yeah. In my spirit, my soul, my mind, my voice, God's voice, it all blends together sometimes, and we discern it based on scripture. But I heard start a 40-day fast, but then I heard not a fast from food, but a fast from wrong thinking. Because until we shift our thinking, until we shift the way we look at ourselves, the way we look at God, as we look at ourselves the way God looks at us, as we look at our problems the way God looks at our problems, as we look at one another the way God looks at one another, that really is a shift in our perspective. And if there was one word that I had for 2021, it's perspective,
so good,
to see things the way God sees them.
Yeah.
That throwback song that the guys just did, which was fantastic, it really talks about, I know who I am. In other words, the only way we know who we are is because of who we are in Christ. Ephesians 1:11 in the Message Bible says, for it is only in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. In other words, only when we're born again, only when we truly discover our new identity in Christ, can we really begin to look at ourselves from a better perspective. We can look at one another from a better perspective. We can look at our problems. Like, God sees the end from the beginning, so his perspective is so much better than ours. God sees all the angels for us. When we see all the enemies against us, God sees all the army of angels for us, that they are more for us than those against us. Mm-hmm. That's perspective. It's not like one's true and one's false. It's like one way of looking at it is our way of looking at things, and then another way of looking at it is God's way of looking at things. They're both right. We see it our way, which is an accurate view from our own perspective, but if we would enlarge our vision to see it God's way, it would take so much of the sting out of life, so much of the pain that when we rehearse some of the mistakes we've made, the things that people have done to us. If we look at it from God's perspective, that helped us, that moved us in the direction that God intended, that gave us experience, it gave us awareness. And when we look at Joseph's brothers throwing him in a pit, that from that point of view, mm-hmm. that really sucks. From that point of view, that's who would want to have brothers do that to them? But from God's perspective, God was promoting Joseph to a level that his brothers would have never been able to promote him to. His father would have never been able to promote him to. Even his work ethic, which was great, would have never been able to promote him to the level that God promoted him to save the world from mm-hmm. starvation. When you look at life from Genesis chapter 48, it's a lot different than Genesis 39 when they throw him in a pit. Yeah. 11 chapters later, he's ruling the world. That's God's perspective.
That
from our point of view, we might have got thrown into a pit. From our point of view, our business might have lost last year. We might have lost our job. We might have lost a close friend, a loved one. But from God's point of view, somehow, 10 months later, just like 10 chapters later, God is going to make it better because he's working on things behind the scenes that we don't see. He's doing something that we don't see. He's doing more than what we see. Mm. Perspective is so really good. Our word for 2021, I think.
Yeah, I love it. I'm excited. I'm excited to stay with that.
Yeah.
And I think just to encourage everyone who's a part of this community to stay on that, and let's together keep a healthy perspective throughout this year, God's perspective throughout this year. And I think there is something powerful about doing that together when we're making change, we're bringing change to the way that we look at things, but we're doing it together. I think there's power to that. So I'm excited about that. I do want to talk about change.
Yeah.
Just quick context, you sent an email out to the staff a couple weeks ago, it was at the beginning of the year, just to kind of sort of encourage everyone and sort of get our minds right before we dive into the year.
Yeah,
set the tone. I actually didn't get the email. Somehow I was not on the list. I don't know how that happened, but I heard people talking about it and saying, oh, that was such a good email. And I'm like, yeah, like I had no idea what it was. And then I asked Liv, I was like, can you send me whatever I missed? And so she did. And honestly, it really was probably the most powerful like message you've sent to our team, I think. Everybody that's watching, to fill everyone in, what you communicated, I think it applies to everyone. Because you didn't start us off, set the tone for the year with, hey, we're gonna have an amazing year, we're gonna reach more people than ever before, we're gonna grow, our team is gonna expand, you know, our resources are gonna increase. Although we believe, we have faith for all of those things, but you really said, as we get ready to continue to pour into people, because that's what we're here to do, to pour into people's lives, we need to start by pouring into ourselves.
Yeah.
Because if we can pour into ourselves, we have so much more to give. And I think this is just, again, this is such a healthy perspective. Oftentimes, and you laid this out, oftentimes we try to become the best employee or give people our absolute best that we can possibly give them. And we often neglect ourselves being filled up to be able to give. And so so I kind of want to just, if you're okay with it, you gave five key things in this email, and I would love to just walk through that for people tonight.
Great concept.
Yeah, so
for sure.
any initial thoughts before we jump into it?
Yeah. Yes, my initial thought before we jump into it is that I hope you guys heard and watched and were a part of Sunday service, because Sunday I talked about the widow in 2 Kings chapter 4, and when she had a need, what she needed, she went to the prophet and said, my husband died and I don't know how to pay all my bills, and they're threatening to take my kids to pay for my debt. And she said, what do I do? She was looking for what to do. And he said to her, what do you have?
Yeah.
What do you have in your house?
Huge.
And the concept of what do you already have is the concept of the miraculous, the breakthrough. It's a concept of how each of our lives should start every day. Mm. What do we already have? And then he, you know the story. She said, all I have is this jar of oil. And he said, go borrow all of the vessels, empty vessels that you can. Take your one jar of oil. Remember, he said, go in the room with your sons, shut the door, take your oil, That's all you had in your house, because everything good starts with what we already have. Everything we need starts with what we already have. And he said, start pouring into the vessels until there's nothing left to pour. When she ran out of vessels, that's when the oil ran out. And so the Lord showed me that vessels, obviously, in the Bible, throughout Scripture, represent people. Mm-hmm. We're the vessel of God. We're the temple of God. You're the temple of God. You're the vessel of God. And the first vessel that we need to pour in, see, she started with her vessel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And her vessel was filled, and that's what enabled her, even though that's all she had.
Right.
All I have is this jar of oil. And he said, start pouring it into other vessels. But she had a full vessel. Her jar was full. Mm. All the other jars were empty, but he told her to start pouring and it multiplied. But the thing that God showed me about our lives and our team and our church and family all over the world is we're never going to be able to pour into others, whether that's our kids, mm-hmm. our husbands, our wives, our students, if we're teachers, church members, if we're pastors, business associates in our jobs, if we're in a business of some sort. We're never going to be able to pour into them if our vessel isn't filled.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the whole concept of put your own oxygen mask on first,
right.
so
right.
that you can effectively help a child or somebody elderly who can't help
yeah.
themselves to get it on. Make sure that you have put your oxygen mask on first. And I think if we don't pour into ourselves emotional health and the promises of God and a joy-filled promises from mm-hmm. Scripture, if we don't pour into ourselves first,
mm-hmm.
we will be running on empty all year
yeah.
trying to impact others
yeah.
and doing it on an empty vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And so God wants to fill our vessel. He wants us to fill up on the water of His Word, the oil of His Spirit, the joy of His presence, so that we can go and
yeah.
give to others and pour into others.
Yeah.
That's the overarching theme.
I would actually want to read a line that you had in the email.
Yeah.
You said, often we pour into everyone else, and then if there's any oil left over, we slap it on our forehead on our way to the next task.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a, is your mic okay? Do we need
to? Yeah,
okay.
No, this is good.
Cool. So I think it's so important that we get filled up. And you said two things. You said, the greatest way to move forward and experience maximum joy and impact, which is what we all want, is to value yourself enough to commit to two things: soul health and self-mastery. And this is what you're talking about with pouring, making sure our vessel is full so that we can pour into others, pour into ourselves by improving our health, our soul health, and becoming the best version of ourselves. So, and then you laid out five things.
Yeah.
So can we dive into this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So, first thing you said, these are five ways that we can improve our soul health and become the best versions of ourselves. The first way is understand your feelings and thoughts instead of reacting to them.
Yes.
And I think this is really huge, because a lot of times we approach or we live out, you know, our life and we feel what we feel. And I think there is a really clear distinction that you make. Feelings are not bad. Feelings,
right.
We're created to have feelings, but we have to understand them and where they're coming from and not just react to them as they come and feel whatever we feel with no control.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think in Genesis chapter 4, we go back to the beginning of Adam and Eve and their first kids,
yeah.
Cain and Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, verse, I think 6 or 7, right around there, God is talking to Abel, and he's saying, look, or he's talking to Cain, actually. He's like, hey, you need to get a hold of yourself here.
Mm.
You need to, before you do anything bad, check yourself. He said, because sin is crouching at the door, and you have to master it. So he was very angry, and God said to him, why is your countenance fallen? Why are you angry? So he's depressed
yeah.
and angry, because God accepted Abel's offering but didn't accept Cain's offering. And that's a whole nother topic we can visit on later,
sure.
What's the difference between their offerings. But the point is that God said to Cain, why is your countenance fallen and why are you angry? He said, because of your emotions right now, sin is crouching at the door. So you have to master your emotions, is what he's essentially saying in Genesis 4. He said, you have to master it, or it will master you. Its desire is for you, but you must master it, in verse 7. You must master it. So this is all about self-mastery.
Yeah.
You must master that anger. You must master those emotions, or they will master you. They will defeat you.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Cain didn't heed point number one that you read from the email. Understand your feelings and thoughts instead of reacting to them. He didn't try to figure out, why am I angry?
Yeah.
He didn't try to figure out, why am I having this emotional reaction? He just reacted to it, and he ends up rising against his brother and kills him. So notice that, you know, for those that we all are against all forms of hate, right? But we have to remember that hate began as early as Genesis chapter 4 with the first family. And if we're gonna really walk in the love of God and not let hate govern ourselves, we can't let politics and differences of opinion, we can't let that divide us. We can't let that get an emotional stronghold in us. We have to be, we have to understand why we feel the way we feel so we can master our emotions. There's another scripture about this in Psalm, or in, I think it's Proverbs 16:31, where it says that better is a man who rules himself. It talks about ruling his own spirit, which is his soul at that in the Old Testament. Better is a man who rules his own soul, his own spirit, than one who captures a city. So the idea of capturing the city means, wow, that's a massive undertaking to capture a city.
Yeah.
Somebody to capture the city of Chicago, somebody to capture the city of Los Angeles, somebody to capture the city of New York. To captivate the entire city would take an enormous army. But God is telling us in Proverbs 16, you're more powerful, and it's a greater accomplishment if you can get control of yourself and your emotions and your feelings. If you can get control of them, you're better than one who takes an entire city and captures a city. Yeah. To me, that's an amazing, startling reality of how much God values our ability to master our emotions and our ability to put a harness around how we feel. Because there's nothing sinful about feeling angry. Be angry, but don't sin. So anger is not a sin. It can turn into one. But we have the opportunity to master it. We have the opportunity to master our emotions. We've seen right before our eyes in the last 10 months, whether it's in cities all around the country or Washington, D.C. last week, we see people that do not harness their emotions.
Yeah.
And unharnessed emotions unleashed on another human being is always hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
It's always destructive. It's never productive. And so we got to get a hold of this. And that's not to pick political sides, because that kind of mistreatment and unharnessed emotions have been on both political spectrums, both political sides of America, for those that have been watching this and been in just sad. It's made me sad for many months about the division that's in our country, but I believe a lot of that is a result of not being able to get control of our own emotions, and those emotions drive us to draw lines in the sand with people and to cut people off of our social media and stop following certain people because they disagree with us. I see so many people online that disagree with me.
Yeah.
But I don't. The only time I block people, because I did block somebody today, but the only time I block people is when they're asking a question that they're literally, legitimately asking a question, and I answer it. And then I only find that they really didn't want an answer. They wanted to debate and argue theology.
Mm-hmm.
Those people I cut off. And then I had a guy today. He sends me another message after I blocked him from another address that he had. And he said, why did you block my old address? And I said, because you just wanted to debate. He said, I wanted to preach the gospel to your followers. And I said, well, I think I'm doing okay at that.
Yeah. Do that on your own page.
Get your own followers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Love it.
We have to get a hold
yeah.
of our emotions, or we're going to hurt ourselves and we're going to hurt others. That's why we have to understand our feelings. Where's this coming from? Maybe this is coming from a place from my past. Maybe this is coming from something I'm afraid of. Many times people lash out at others because they have some fears and they don't want to talk about it. So they go right to the emotional. They think that that will be therapeutic to their emotions is to lash out. And it never pays off. The promise payday of anger never puts money in your account. It always debits from your, and I don't mean money physically, but it never puts something good in your account. It always debits from your account. It always takes life from you when you act on that anger, when you act on that, when you live out that fear, you live out that jealousy or that that hate, that violence inside your soul that turns into violence towards somebody else. I think what we're talking about here, soul health and self-mastery, kind of is really the need of our day. If we really got a hold of that, we wouldn't give people so much power to influence our emotions, and we wouldn't need people to treat us a certain way in order for us to be happy, because we would learn how to be happy in the Lord. Happy is he who does not condemn himself. Happy is the one that trusts in the Lord. Happy is the one that puts his faith in God and knows his sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. The Bible talks about where happiness comes from, so we got to stop trying to get it from others.
Yeah, it's really good. I love that. That kind of is point one and two, what we just talked about, because the first one is understand your feelings, not just react to them. The second one is harness and master your emotions, like you just described. And,
I got ahead of ourselves.
It's perfect. Those are so important, because it is a combination.
It really is.
You do need to harness them and not suppress them. You talked a little bit about that.
Express them, don't suppress them. We have to express our emotions in the right direction.
So it's that balance, because I think, you could easily fall one way or the other. You can suppress and just bury them. But I heard somebody say that unprocessed emotions don't die, they get buried alive. And so they still exist. So I think not suppressing them is important, but also not lashing out, like you said. So there is that middle ground of expressing in the right place.
And the right place is go to God. Like, go to God or go to somebody that you trust can hear you out, but always go to God, obviously. Yeah. And David did that in all the Psalms. We see David starting out his psalm with, "Oh God, when, oh when will you vindicate me? Oh God, why have you forsaken me? Oh God, why have you left me?" We see that in the beginning of some of David's psalms. But by the end of the psalm, he's like, "Yet I will praise you. Yet I will trust you." So he expresses his emotions to God. In fact, I got a message from somebody else today. So I read a lot of your messages as much as I can, guys. And they said, "I just want to thank you because I was listening to one of your messages from years ago, and you said, express your emotions upward to God, and you won't express them outward towards others." Yeah, and that just, huge. I just got that message today.
That's awesome.
And thank God for the internet. There's a lot of pictures of me and things that I said years ago that I wish weren't on the internet. But I'm also thankful for the things that I've said that have impacted people's lives that they can go back to or they find accidentally when they're doing a search.
And can I just say, we love that. We love hearing from you.
We really
do. You know, if you're impacted by anything that happens here in our discussion, or it's something that you're preaching on Sunday, it's always amazing to hear stories of transformation, to hear people sending in. So continue to do that. If you're on social, follow Gregory Dickow, send him a DM or tweet him. You've been on Twitter too lately. I've really been enjoying what you've been tweeting. So if you need some daily encouragement, like, it was like you posted, I think it was like 11 p.m. last night, and I was like, wow, I needed this. Stay connected on social and let us know where you're seeing transformation in your life, what's blessing you, what's impacting you, because it's really amazing to hear that from
people. When I can't sleep, I start tweeting and sending messages out and
blocking people. Let's jump on to the third thing, which is actually one of my favorites. You said create daily routines that force you to grow. First of all, I just love the way you phrase that, because if you don't have to force growth, if you just work on the daily routines, the way that you're spending your time, the way that you're the things that you're feeding yourself, that produces growth. So you said it includes a couple things, just to name a few. It's not all of these things only. You said praying in the Holy Spirit, regular challenging exercise, healthy relationship with food, along with making someone's day or life better in some way. These have been non-negotiable routines in my life. These disciplines make me more focused and healthier in my soul. A healthier me is a better me for you and for people that I'm privileged to serve. And I think
I want to repeat that last sentence. That a healthier me is a better me for you. Right? Because if I'm healthier, that's going to benefit you. If I'm a part of your life, me being healthier is going to make my impact in your life better. And sometimes my efforts to be healthier in my soul limits the different things that the activities that I can get involved with. I can't necessarily meet with a lot of people for coffee because I'm trying to get a healthier me so that I can talk to people in our events and in our church services and in our and in our experiences here in a way that I've gotten healthy enough so that I can, whatever I got, I will infect other people with. Mm-hmm. If I got positive, something good and positive inside, we're going to spread whatever we got.
Right.
So I think COVID has taught us that, that it can spread and it can spread easily. And if you got it, you can end up spreading it. And so what's the lesson to be learned there? The lesson to be learned is whatever virus you're carrying in your inside of you, if you're carrying the virus of love, I don't know if you would call it a virus, but you know what I'm saying. It's viral. It goes everywhere. It spreads from you to somebody else. If you got love inside of you, you're going to spread love to others. And that's why a healthier me is better for you. But we could go through each of these in so much detail.
I think we should at some point.
At some point, let's drill down on praying in the Holy Spirit another time. Regular challenging exercise another time.
Did you work out today? Lift? What did you lift?
Absolutely. Today was arms.
Okay. Treat yourself. I love it.
And abs. I got to work on those too at my age. I need more work than I think a day could contain, or a week or a month or a year. One day though, God will give me a better body in heaven.
Which one do you want to drill down on?
No, I want to encourage people that a healthy relationship with food is one of the most overlooked topics. We've talked about this a few months ago, and we don't have to drill down too deep on that because I want to get to the next one too. But a healthy relationship with food means enjoying what you eat, just having a balance of how much of it you eat. Like there's nothing inherently wrong with a candy bar, a piece of chocolate cake, or name whatever your favorite food is, a piece of pizza. Just maybe don't eat the whole pizza. Maybe eat a couple pieces of it. And have a certain goal. Like I have a certain goal of calories that I want to consume in a day. And so I kind of budget it like money.
Right.
But I have a healthy relationship with it because the things that fit into that budget, that food budget, so to speak, I make sure that that includes things that I enjoy eating so that I don't go through my day feeling like I'm on a diet or that I have to deprive myself of tasty things. Because God gave us taste buds. Well, Sandy would say, kill the taste buds, I believe that Jesus has resurrected mine because he's the God that raises the dead. So God bless you, Sandy. We love you.
I love it.
But we want to taste our food.
Yeah.
Because when you can taste it, then you will be able to appreciate it.
Well, and also I think there is a deeper issue here because, and we don't need to get into this, but I do think people feed themselves foods to fill an emotional need, not just a physical need. And so I think that's where there is a lot of danger because we eat sometimes and overeat sometimes to feel better because we're not really understanding our feelings and mastering those emotions. And so there's so much we could get into.
But I do want to say one more thing about that emotional eating isn't necessarily bad as long as you can put a border around it.
Right.
Because food is always a part of God's celebrations. So I want to encourage people that in every celebration you see in the Bible, the wedding at Cana where Jesus turned the water into wine, the prodigal son coming home, the seven feasts of the Old Testament, the times Jesus at the Last Supper with his disciples, like there's food, there's wine, there's all of that going on, and it's a part of the emotional experience of being a human and sharing with each other. As long as you don't, as long as you can put a border around it and like have a limit, have a limit. Like if you don't have a limit, you can't, like if you don't have a limit, there's no goal to obtain. But if you have a limit, then you, once you reach that goal, even if you exceed it sometimes, even if you go past that goal and eat more than you should have, at least you are setting up goals that you're shooting for. I want to encourage people to really do that and not deprive yourself, but don't be excessive in anything, as the Bible says. And as we know, we learn from our mistakes, some of those things. Yeah, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, so just so far we've talked about understanding your feelings, number one, harnessing and mastering your emotions and your feelings, number two. Just now we talked about creating daily routines that will force you to grow. The fourth thing,
I want to say one thing that to encourage everybody can start with number three, a routine that forces you to grow. We talked about this two or three weeks ago. I saw you guys posted on one of our Instagram accounts, and it was all about beginning the day with a verse about the love of God.
That's good.
I put together something called I Greet This Day with God's Love in My Heart. Mm-hmm. And it comes from Psalm 143, where he said, I think it's in verse 7, he says, I will awaken the morning with meditating on your love, your steadfast love for me.
Yeah.
And if you could just take one verse of scripture, like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, anything about love, or nothing can separate us from the love of God, or love never fails, or God's love, we love because he first loved us. Start your day with love.
Yeah.
Start your day with love. Start your day with love. That's the routine that will change your life more than any other routine, more than any other thing you could discipline yourself about. Start your day with the love of God. Start your day leaning into God's love by finding a scripture, not about how much we need to love, but how much he loves us. Start with that, because you can only give what you got. So as you start with God's love for you, it'll flow, his love will flow out from you when you understand his love towards you, which is never something that ever gets old, because love never becomes obsolete.
That's really great. I actually love that clip that you mentioned. So we'll throw it on Twitter, on Life Changers, and on your Twitter as well. So if you do want to see that clip, that was one of my favorite ones that we posted in a while. And so, I mean, they're all great, but that is really good. Starting your day, it's simple. You don't need to have an hour-long devotion, although that's amazing if you do that. But I think at least starting small will really set you up for a win.
And I want to encourage people also about, because you mentioned Twitter, and I want to be sensitive to the current events in our life, in our lives right now, in our country. And so if for some reason that you have disavowed your involvement with Twitter because they blocked the president, and you might agree or disagree, we're not here to fight that debate. But if you don't want to go to Twitter, go to one of the other social media platforms.
Yeah, we'll put it on Instagram as well.
Yeah, find us. Find, because social media is here to stay. Now, it can be used in good ways or it can be used in bad ways, and we don't want to ever use these things in bad ways, and I hate that those things are used in negative ways by any political party or any person. So, but if that's something that bothers you, remember, our tent is big enough to house you, all you Republicans out there, all you Democrats out there, all you independents out there, all you in other countries out there, our tent is wide. It's all about the love of God and connecting on the things that we overlap in our lives, not dividing by the things that we disagree about, but by uniting around the things that we do agree about. In the essentials, let there be unity.
Yeah.
That's love. That's the gospel. That's staying connected. Those are the essentials. In the non-essentials, let there be liberty. Politics is a non-essential topic. Doesn't mean that it's not important. It's just not essential for your life. Because under any government in this world, in world's history, believers who believed in God and trusted in God thrived in any government, whether it was the evil Roman Empire, whether it was some other evil empire. Christians thrive by trusting God and not getting caught up in the politics side of life. It's a non-essential, gang. It really is. It's essential to have our rights and to have vote and all of that, but it's a non-essential to pick sides and separate friends and divide churches and divide families over politics. When anything that brings division, you should recognize it's not from God. And so just wanted to get that out
there
for whoever that needs to hear that. Like, let's stay united. Let's stay connected. Let's stay together. Go ahead.
Cool. We got a few minutes left, so we'll fly through these last two. Number four, you said ask for help. There's so many. This can apply to a lot of different ways. But even just asking, if you have a question you need answered, Google it. If you need a prayer for something, call us. We're here. We're available. Like you talked about earlier, like we're here for you.
And really are.
Yeah. So the team will put in the chat the best way to contact us. If you need prayer for something, you need encouragement around something. Our pastoral team is amazing, and they will respond, and we will pray with you. We are here for you. If you do need more serious help, if you need counseling, we encourage that as well. We want to get help. Because no one should be doing life alone. We shouldn't be stuck with just whatever questions and problems that we have.
Yeah.
We're meant to do this together. That's why it's important to be part of a church community.
It's really good. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, "Woe to the one who falls when he's alone, because he has no one to help pick him up." So that's why we need each other, and we need to stay together as a spiritual family, because sometimes we fall, sometimes we have weaknesses and shortcomings, and we all have those, and we need our family, our spiritual family, to help us up when we fall. Mm-hmm. We really do need that, and we don't ever need to be looking down at anybody, right? I like to say that a lot.
Yeah.
The only time we should ever be looking down at anyone is when we're bending over to help them up. We should never be thinking that we're better than anybody else, but we should bend over to help people up. That's the only time, I know it's a play on words, but it's the only time you should be looking down at anybody is when you're bending over to help them up. So ask for help. Cool. You have not because you ask not. So ask, and we're going to do everything we can in our power to help be a part of God's solution in your life.
Yeah, it's awesome. The last one we'll hit, you said learn to rest. And you said this is not just taking time off, although that's a part of it, but it's learning to rest your mind and your soul, to silence or curb the busy activity inside of your head. And I think that's so huge. There's so much power in silence. And I think sometimes we're very busy, and we like to be busy because it keeps us from needing to really have conversations with ourselves and really be honest with ourselves about what we're feeling and what we're experiencing, and really we need to be taking that to God.
Yeah.
But there's so much power in silence. And so I love that you talked about this form of rest. That's not the typical way of rest, of just taking a day off and then coming right back. But it's really being able to have mental rest,
soul rest. Silencing the voices, silencing the thoughts. And really, like we've said over 2020 and into 2021, stripping away the complicated, stripping away all the layers of how we have to feel busy all the time.
Yeah.
And a revival of simplicity, a revival of the simple things. The gospel is simple. God's answers are simple. God's love is simple. Life is simple. It doesn't mean simple versus hard. It's not easy versus hard. It's simple rather than complicated. That's the point.
Yeah.
And I really believe simplicity is God's way. And I want to take into 2021, we're already in it, stay simple, guys. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Let's stay in the simple things. Let's learn to rest. Let's learn to listen to the voice of God. Let's learn to follow the leading of the Spirit to bless other people. And let's learn to be his sheep. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, And I want to just make a closing appeal to anyone who's watching right now who's never heard the voice of God. You've never heard the invitation into God's family. Well, I want to make that invitation on God's behalf as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I'm inviting you into the family of God. I'm not inviting you into a religion. I'm not inviting you into a bunch of rules and legalistic regulations. I'm inviting you into a family. And God has given me the power to extend the invitation to you. And it's just simply by praying together. And the Bible says that your sins and your life of the past is washed away by the blood of Jesus. And all you have to do is receive that forgiveness. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you don't feel like you can hear His voice, today is your day. Today, God's smiling at you, and He's had you on His mind all day, all your life. He's wanted you to accept His invitation. Simply pray with me as a way of accepting that invitation out loud. Heavenly Father, just pray that. Heavenly Father, I invite Jesus Christ into my life as my Savior and Lord. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. From this moment forward, I'm a child of God. Amen. You see, it's so simple to become part of God's family. The invitation is always open. And thank you for those of you who accepted the invitation. Please let me know. There should be a link on your screen of a free gift that I'd like to put in your hands. You can download it anywhere in the world. It's called The Power of a New Life. And we want you to get that. And Robert, we don't want to minimize any time we gather together. It's so powerful. Like me and Joseph were talking about earlier, about moments lead to momentum. So we want people to stick with us in the next moments that we have.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's power when we're connected. And we got a couple great weeks coming up here. This Sunday is going to be awesome. So I want to encourage everyone who's watching right now, join us again on Sunday. All of our normal service times, you can join online. Next Sunday, the 24th, we're going to be having an in-person experience. We talked about that earlier. We're going to be taking communion together at our 10:30 Central Time service. So if you are in the local area and you want to be a part of that, make sure to go to the website, lifechangerschurch.com, so you can register, because we do require registration for that, just so we know how many people are coming, so we can make sure everything is safe for you and your family. So we want to welcome you to be a part of that. But wherever you are, if you're not in the area, still be a part of that online. It's going to be a great experience online, and we are going to take communion together for everyone at that 10:30 experience and be a part of that.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, can't wait. But we love you, church. Thanks for being with us tonight, and go encourage somebody this week. Take the rest of this week. You've got a few days left to just be an encouragement, to be somebody who is a giver, someone who is love. You talk about being love. That's what we believe. So let's be
love. Thank you, Tyra, for that.
Yeah, so good.
Months ago.
So good.
We love you guys. We'll see you at our next service.